Turn, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Please be seated. Do you know who would have been a hit on social media? John the Baptist would have owned social media. Can you imagine this guy with a cell phone camera and a TikTok handle? I mean, I know we want to think that Jesus would have had more followers, but what we know about algorithms is that nothing quite gets the clicks like name-calling and court intrigue and live-blogging your alternate lifestyle. John had what it takes to be what today we would call an influencer. He knew how to get people's attention, and he was good theater. Case in point, when the Sadducees and Pharisees show up in all of their finery and get their proverbial clocks cleaned by hashtag voice in the wilderness crying. But here's where we see that John is more than just flash and would have been more than just an Instagram star. He wasn't putting on a show for its own sake, nor was he actually putting on a show. He knew that his message and his movement was ultimately not about him. Indeed, that may have driven a wedge between John and his followers who were showing up for repentance, which is good, or maybe they were showing up for the end of the current order, whatever that meant to them. But they may have had a harder time giving their hearts to what was coming next. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they show up. Now, they were the religious establishment. They were the temple elite, and they must have viewed John as a threat. But they didn't show up to argue, to pick at finer points of theology. Presumably, they showed up for the baptism that John was offering, right? Nice. Tell me about this thing called baptism, John. We'd like to know all about it. And one might think that this was a sign of progress. If these folks are here, then clearly John's words are making it into the halls of power. But John sniffs them out. For John the Baptist, you have to show up wholeheartedly if you are going to show up at all. And John knew that at best, they were going through the motions. But more likely, they were there to figure out how they could get some control over him and his movement. More than likely, they were there to try to prevent anything that would disrupt their comfortable and privileged position, anything that would keep them from changing their lives and turning towards something different. John's baptism was about amendment of life and a transformation of the heart. Ironically, the religious folk weren't there for that. They were there to keep things the way they were. But to John, baptism without repentance is just a cold splash of water. Now, there is a song from the Akron band, the Black Keys, that comes to mind for me. It's called On the Game. Everybody's on the game. They keep you howling at the rain. It's how we know we're all the same. Everybody's on the game. Now, I know that is not the best poetry. You have to hear the song to make it make sense. And it's a bit cynical, but it's not entirely wrong. John could tell at a gut level that the religious folks who showed up were on the game. They were not showing up authentically or with curiosity or with open hearts. They were saying and doing one thing, but their hearts and their minds were somewhere else. And it sounds harsh when John calls them out, almost like he's doing this over Twitter, right? You brood of vipers, hashtag burn, hashtag takedown. And like everyone who is there, we kind of want to cheer him on a little bit, right? Yeah, go get him, John, right on. But let me go back to the Black Keys. Everybody's on the game. It's how we know we're all the same. That is not to elevate the Black Keys to Scripture, but it is part of being human to be tempted to live lives in ways that are inauthentic or hard-hearted or even performative. Everybody's on the game a little bit or sometimes a lot until we engage the healing work of repentance. What is this game? The game is all the ways that we hold on to power and to status, to where we resist anything that would move us from the status quo into something unfamiliar and perhaps scary. The game is ego. It is selfishness. It is addiction. The game is those large and small manipulations that we think keep us safe and secure, but which really keep us broken and stuck and tend to hurt other people along the way. Everybody's on the game. In the Christian journey, though, repentance means moving off of the game and into something real. John clearly saw this. He saw it because he had a kind of spiritual intuition. He could size up the Pharisees and the Sadducees the minute they walked in the door, and he could tell that something was not on the level. It was a prelude to the spirit of wisdom and discernment that Jesus would show. And in a certain way that we as disciples of Jesus can learn and have as well. Isaiah speaks of it when speaking of the one who is to come. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him. It will be a spirit of wisdom and understanding, of divine counsel. And he shall judge not by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the world. And what will he see with this sixth sense spirit of understanding? What will this righteousness lens help the Savior to see? Equity. He will judge the poor with righteousness and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. There is perhaps no greater game than inequity, because for it to stay in motion, it requires that we all put on mask after mask and live out fabrication after fabrication. To understand this, let's remember the difference between equity and equality. Equality means that we are all the same and that we are here together on a level playing field. We are all equal before the law, supposedly, and certainly we are equal before our Creator. But equality is a game if we make a big old show out of seeing each other as equal without also seeing that in all things, some have it easy and some have it really hard. Equity is a term that acknowledges that the playing field in this imperfect world is never level, and that the wise and righteous person will see this and will seek to remedy the deprivations of poverty or racism or what have you that diminish the image of God in each and every one of us. Discernment of inequity is one of the spiritual gifts that we anticipate in our Savior. When powerful and comfortable folks, like who are often us, are called out for inequity, sometimes using words that hurt a little bit, hashtag bag of vipers or barrel of vipers or what is it, brood of vipers, excuse me. When that happens, it doesn't feel good. I don't think it's supposed to. This moment of confrontation and discomfort, though, should call us to the healing and holy work of repentance. But don't let the camel hair and the zingers fool you. Repentance is not ultimately about punishment. Actually, it's probably not about punishment at all. I shouldn't have said that word. Repentance is about birthright. To repent is to turn towards God and to remember and celebrate and claim our place as children of God. That's what repentance is about. Do not presume to say to yourselves, though, we have Abraham as our ancestor. Do not rest on tribal laurels. Don't play the game of exceptionalism. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. That's not what it means to claim a birthright. Rather, what matters, it's not who you know, it's not who your people are, but rather the fruit you bear with the life that you lead. Bear fruit, John says, worthy of repentance. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Of course that means do good things. Of course that means be a kind person, yes, yes, but it is deeper than that. It means caring for the poor. It means seeking equity and naming it as a Christian value and not just a progressive buzzword. It means being attentive to those games, large and small, that we each play in our lives that can harm the people we love, but above all, alienate us from our authentic selves and keep us from seeing and knowing ourselves as God created and God sees us. In the drama that unfolds in the gospel today, the Pharisees and the Sadducees get booed off of the stage because they completely misunderstand baptism. But I would guess that many of the folks who were there that day might have missed the point a little bit too. They were there for repentance, which is good and important, but I think that they might have seen that as the end itself rather than the means to an end to something more generative and hopeful. John's call to repentance isn't about confession. It's about making a turn towards our authentic selves, towards living as God calls us to live, wholeheartedly, with an eye towards equity and the peace that passes all understanding. Yes, it starts with confession, but that is simply a point, a way that we see the world as it is, where we have fallen short of it, and then turn towards God and claimed the gift of birthright that is ours. To repent is to turn from flash to substance, from false self to true self, from living on the game to the greater life of righteousness and abundant grace. Turn, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. It is life in its fullness, And as sure as God created you, it is the life that God created you to live. Amen.